Hey Greg.
What's up, Thomas?
I'm feeling fine, man. It's a beautiful Monday afternoon and it stopped raining. It was an apocalypse.
Oh, you had some rain.
Morning. Oh, it was crazy. It was like the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's cray.
It's like now though. Over here in New Zealand, I'm looking out at a beautiful, I'd say summer's day. November, but summer's day.
Nice and warm?
Yeah, it's what is my thermometer to say? 22.
That's a lovely temperature.
22.6. Yeah, that's... You could be that all year round and I'd be happy. Yeah. That's like California, right? It's just beautiful all the time.
The only time I want it warmer is when I want to go swimming at the beach. And I want to have that real change between lying on the sand and baking and then jumping in the cool water. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I do know exactly what you mean. Or you need the water to be much warmer than you would expect it to be.
I did go swimming last week.
Whoa.
Yep. I went, Michelle and I went for a
Nippy?
Bike ride. Yes, but it was a really warm day. It was like 29.
Oh.
So yeah, it was fantastic. You know, when you were here, did you go into those continental pools that would sort of dot the coastline?
I walked past them, but didn't.
Okay.
Up near...
Yep, up north, yeah.
Yeah, that place starting with B?
Bulleye.
Yeah, by Bulleye.
Yeah, that's exactly the one that I swam in because we rode there.
Oh, cool. Wow, that's been great.
That's pretty good, man.
Look at you, man. Riding, that's like a duathlon. Did you run at all?
No, I don't run.
That would be interesting.
And when I say don't, I mean can't. I can run to the... no, I can't run.
No, nothing.
No,
to
no.
The Subaru if it was on fire.
On fire. What's been going on with you, man? We haven't snapped
sick.
In a few. Are you?
No, we've been a bit. I don't know what we've been. I've been very sick. I basically had a whole week of flu-y, coldy stuff. So kind of been lying low. Actually, I watched seasons 1, 2, and 3 of Better Call Saul.
Oh man, I love that show.
It's good. It's really. I hadn't watched it at all until last week, and then I just watched it 3 days. Boom, the whole thing. And,
You have watched? Obviously, you've watched Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Watch Breaking Bad, whole thing of that, and I do like the way the story comes in and out. Mm. You know, it kind of does a little dance in between.
I personally prefer Better Call Saul.
I found
Breaking Bad amazing, but really hard to watch sometimes. Like when you're just watching the decisions that they're making, the various characters, and just going, that is not going to end well. Like that's
you
really
can
bad.
Tell that they're like, what would make for good television? Like, what would people? What would get a reaction?
Well, and I really, I love Saul. Like, he's such a hustler, man. It's like everything he does, he just hustles. He never gives up and he has no shame. He has no shame, like, doing whatever it takes. It's so cool.
And a couple of times when he's at, like, his lowest and he's basically just broken, you know, everything's gone wrong, like the thing with his brother and all of that.
Yeah.
And then I'll ruin this for people that haven't seen season 3, but...
Block your ears if you have not seen it.
Yeah. He goes to his law practicing insurance firm.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And he goes there and he puts on the waterworks. And it seems so genuine. He's all upset and he's pouring his soul out. And then, you know, he does the thing about his brother's illness and all that. And the insurance company's like, brother's got an illness? And he's like, oh, no, I didn't mean it. And then he walks out the door, a huge smile. And you're like,
amazing.
Man. How does he do it?
How epic was the scene in court where he planted the battery in his brother's jacket?
It's good.
Oh my goodness.
What I liked about that is it wasn't perfect. Like, it wasn't really super well executed, but it was executed exactly how Saul would execute it.
It's a bit scrappy, but exactly.
Yeah. But just perfectly worked. And he read. I think that's what he does. He reads people.
Yeah.
And he knows how to manipulate.
Play them.
Or get his way out of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no. I really and I wasn't sure because we've got this Lightbox TV, you know, online TV thing here, and it only had seasons 1, 2, and 3. But I see season 4 is due next year.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a gap, which kind of sucks.
Hmm.
But oh well.
Hey, so I see you've got quite the wine rack.
Yeah, it's a very interesting observation, Greg. I actually didn't. It wasn't that I had too much wine and had to buy a rack. It was that I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy a wine rack and then it'll give me a reason to buy a heap of wine. So,
yeah, man. Because obviously it just looks stupid now because it's got these empty spots.
Oh, it's a joke. Got to fill it, right?
Yeah, man. What would a wine connoisseur say?
I know. So oh, I've been.
That's a real shame. Some real issues you've got going on there, Tom.
And the whites are all at the bottom because I never drink them, and then the reds are always at the top there.
One thing that is really hurting my feelings is that the tops of the colors of the tops are all out of some sort of sequence. You got whites over there and pink and red and yellow. It'd be nice to see some sort of coordination there, Tom.
That makes you frustrated, does it, Greg?
If you told me that they were alphabetically stacked, then I'd be like, oh, that's fine. That's totally fine.
How about I tell you this? There is no order to the way they're placed. How does that make you feel?
Chaos. I'm sorry. I cannot live in a world of chaos.
And what happens if I went up to those pictures on my wall and just unstraightened a few of them?
Well, I see one there, the bottom right. That's horrendous. One observation I'll also make is that I think, if I'm right, that wine is within arm's distance if you're playing PlayStation.
You are absolutely right.
That seems like a really dangerous cocktail.
You know how I got my PlayStation 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. I already have 9 games.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man. And now Michelle actually just went away about half an hour ago. She left. Oh. She went driving. So this week, man, it's like I'm going to go to the supermarket. I'm going to get enough food and whatever I need for the week. And then I'm dead bolting the doors, shutting all the blinds. And I'm just going to play games all week. Amazing.
Sweet. Yeah, man. How's your edit list? What do you call that?
My queue is at, I think, 3. It's pretty low.
That's good.
Yeah, man. Michelle started doing some editing for me.
Oh, cool. For your weddings or for her weddings?
Yeah, for mine.
Oh, nice.
She's doing really well. So actually the queue's at, 3, which is really good.
Nice.
How about you?
One photo, and we're getting quite a few videos coming through now. So I'm going to be having to smash those out. I've done about 90% of one today. I got one more. So 2.1 is my current queue.
Do you like editing? Do you have a preference in terms of editing? Video is harder to edit, right?
Yeah, video is more challenging for me right now because we're kind of developing a new style and getting all of our songs. You've got to get licensed music and stuff. It's kind of like photos where once you've got your presets, once you've got your workflow, it all falls into place. But these last few, or especially this one today that I'm doing, I'm really trying to get, I'm working on the process rather than just finishing the...
Right.
Video.
The next ones that happen, they'll fit to that template.
Exactly. So it should be maybe 20% faster next time, and then I'll reach that kind of perfect spot where you're just cranking them out.
You say you're changing your style a bit, what do you mean in your editings, final product?
Yeah, I'm using much better software now, so I'm using Final Cut Pro, and people would either use that or Adobe Premiere. It's kind of same Adobe versus Apple kind of thing.
Yeah.
Final Cut's Apple. They're both really good. But so you can apply filters to your video, but it's like photography where every scene, every shot, you can apply different white balance, different exposure filters. So it can be very time consuming, or you can just do blanket.
For the whole lot, yeah.
But then, of course, it's dangerous because one bit will be different depending on the day. It depends how much you want to get into it. And then you can add black bars top and bottom and do a crop effect so it looks more cinematic. And there are pros and cons versus everything. The thing that I get hung up on the most is the audio, because the song and the audio really does sets the video. It sets the scene. And I really worry that the client's just going to hear that first 5 seconds of audio and go, oh, I hate the song.
Really, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just starting to kind of put together this idea where I say to the client, what style of music would you like? And maybe give them 4 tracks to choose from.
And make them all typo negative tracks.
Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal. I'm still going to edit. I'm just going to lock myself away and do a Love You to Death wedding video. That. I'm doing that. I just have to do that.
Isn't that the ultimate way to love someone? To death?
I think so, man.
Wouldn't it be cool if one day... I've always had this dream, and I'm actually serious here, of shooting this wedding of these two, mega goths.
Yeah.
I think you and I are both pretty open-minded and pretty embracing of all people in all forms and whatever they choose, right? I would love to be approached by two, heavily tattooed, full-on goths who are getting married in a cemetery.
Ooh. and really go there, like really
100%. Like make in a cemetery.
Would you go? Would you? What time of day would you go?
Well, it'd have to be the nighttime, wouldn't it? And I know this provides this would give us some lighting issues, but maybe it could be dusk.
What if it was just a really stormy, like you'd have to shoot, if you could have total control over what day it was, like it's almost like a staged shoot.
So you call them and go, hey, thunderstorm today.
Yeah, today's the day, let's go. It's pouring with rain. Yeah. And like mascara's running. So cool.
Yes.
Go into nighttime. Oh, you could have so much fun. Well, hey man, I'm sure if you put on your Facebook page with your six, are you up to what, 7 billion now? Have you got everyone on there?
Every human, yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah,
there's
that's
a few
good.
Kids who aren't on there yet, but they're too young.
Okay, probably got a few dolphins on there. I hear dolphins are getting smarter every day. You should just put on there, like, looking for a goth couple to do a sweet, like, model shoot.
Oh, man, dude, be so good.
All right, we've done enough rabbiting?
Yeah. What's next, Greg?
Should we snap it down?
I think we should.
I've actually got some today.
You have a heap.
I got a whole heap. Yes, I was going to say
something
else. Okay. Listen. I'm going to put this out there for people that are editing weddings and they've listened to every song on their iTunes playlist and they're sick of podcasts. You know, good old-fashioned radio.
What?
You know, like the radio. Like,
yeah, I heard
you tune
it.
You tune it in and it's like a number, like 91.4 or something.
Yes.
Well, listen, I've got my favorite radio station in New Zealand called 95BFM.
True FM.
Wait, no. And it's not the light FM or anything like that. Shine FM. Mm-hmm. No, BFM. Wow. BFM is a student radio station. It's just fantastic. If you're in New Zealand and you're in Auckland, especially BFM, you're probably not. Recently, Mikey Havoc, who's a bit of a New Zealand personality kind of guy, he recently, about a year ago probably now, he started back up on The Breakfast Show, and it's just good listening. Anyway, they do a live stream, but to listen to the live stream, you've got to go to their website, click on a certain link, and it plays live in the browser.
Okay.
So you're in Firefox, whatever, your browser, Safari, and it's playing in the browser.
Okay.
That's okay, but kind of annoying because you've got to have like your browser open and that website open all the time, whatever.
Yep.
I found that if you get information on that stream within the browser, you can find the web address for the precise stream. So if you type that into your browser, it'll just basically bring up a black page and it's got a tiny, tiny little play bar in the middle.
Okay.
And it'll play. So rather than relying on their website to kind of give you the music, you're fetching it.
It's the exact feed, basically.
Yeah, feed web address. Now, once you've got that, this is where I was like super Greg hacker guy. I went into iTunes and I realized if you go... Oh, now I have to try and remember exactly how I did it. If you go up to File... Oh, it's Command U. If you go to File and you go Open Stream, you can just paste that web address of the stream into iTunes and then it spits out a playable stream.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you save it to the name, whatever name you want. The issue is it buries it in your like iTunes folder, like just, you know, in a random place. So all I did is made a playlist. And so I've got a playlist on the side. It's called Radio Streams. And
that's
I open
a good
it.
Good idea.
And I got my favorite radio station right there. And if I click play, it's going. And I've got another couple of radio stations. So I found their streams and did the same thing.
Does it show you the... I don't think it does, but does it have tracking information?
No, it's literally I don't believe so. No, it's just a straight feed. But hey, man, when you're sitting here for hours on end, and it's just, I like how I'm using everything, but there's something nice about listening to a live broadcast.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Also one that you're not choosing, like you're not actively choosing what's next. It's getting, you learn about new artists and new songs and stuff. That's cool, man.
And the news is like right up to date. It's, you know, it's as it happens.
Excellent. Anyway. Snapdown.
One other thing I love is that it's actual new music. You know, it's like you're hearing new things from new artists that are out there making music rather than me listening to Tool and Typo, which are...
all the time.
Why would you listen to anything else? But it's not really... Yeah. It's expanding my horizons.
For sure. It's a change. I like it. I'm going to try that.
What do you think?
I'm going to try it. I wonder if I can do that in Spotify as well.
Surely... I'm going to say maybe.
Why is that there? Yeah, I'll have a look, but man, that's a great idea.
I've got one more massive snap down, which is actually borderline bigger than Snapdown. So maybe you do one and then
You sure?
I'll come back. Yep.
All right. What's mine? Hold on.
Oh, and I can fill in
a few. Oh, it's Gary. Yeah, you do. Mine's a pretty simple one, pretty obvious. So I've noticed you often hear people complaining about focus problems, autofocus problems. Mm-hmm. So I've noticed this thing, and it's going to sound so obvious. Whenever I, on the morning of a wedding or the night before a wedding, whenever I take out my rocket blower and my little lens pen, whenever I fully clean my lenses, mm-hmm. and I mean blow off all the dust, use the little brush to get rid of all the extra little bits of dust, and then spray some of that lens stuff and wipe the elements mm-hmm. down.
Yeah.
Whenever I do that, my cameras focus way better at the wedding. Like my autofocus is way more precise. And it occurred to me that this is a ridiculously obvious thing that I should be doing before every single wedding. But, you know, I just don't, because who cares, and I can't be bothered and I'm busy. And I didn't really think that a little bit of dust would affect a photo that much. I was thinking in terms of quality of the image. Turns out, from my experience, if you clean your lenses, your autofocus will work better. So I suggest to you, everyone who's listening, clean your lenses before every wedding and your focus system will work way better.
Nice.
There you go. Have you experienced that?
No, not exactly that, but this, I find this hilarious because...
I know what you're going to say.
I knew bastard. You'd know.
And don't clean it with your t-shirt.
No, forget that. Okay, all right, listen. About... 5-6 years ago when I first came over to visit you,
yeah.
and I was like, oh, looking through your camera bag, and you had all these sweet lenses, and you had that Pelican case, and it was open, and you had lenses sitting in there with no front or back caps.
Did I really?
And I was like, hey Tom, what's up? What's going on? Like, this lens, not only are there no caps on it, it's filthy, and I'm not kidding. And you're like, listen, Greg,
professional.
Is it going to affect the composition of my images? Is a bride going to care?
No. <Nah.
laughs> Did I say that?
Yeah. That's awesome. I stand by my words.
Yeah.
Except not
at
not
the
really.
Time, I was like, wow, this guy. But now I'm like, classic Tom Stewart.
I just red-panded my own
Never
self.
Back down.
Yeah. No, I hereby retract that. But it's funny because you don't... I didn't realize the difference that it makes until I started actually... reversing my behavior. And then I was like, oh, because I'm very stubborn and I don't listen to, if someone tells me to do something and I'm in another way of doing things, I'm like, you know what, piss off. So but now
I'll tell you what you do. You're like, you know what, man, it's everyone's got their own way and that's cool for you.
I do.
The amount of times you've said that to me. No, that's good. I'm really proud of you for cleaning your lenses. That's like photography 101. And
and I just cracked it. It's taken me about 15 years to figure it out. And you out there, you're listening, you know, learning from my mistakes. 15 years of not cleaning lenses, front and rear elements. And
because I don't think people think about it as far as focusing goes. So
I can just add in there that it's also very easy to clean your own senses. If you're worried about doing that, it's very easy to do. And I cleaned my senses.
With the little flippy flip thing?
Yeah, that thing.
Swishy swish?
On. Yep, that thing.
Oh, yeah. Yep, nice one. Yep. You got the proper full frame
yep.
size? You don't maybe. Have to like do a half and then another half?
Yeah, no, do a full way across. Yeah. You're up, son.
All right, listen. You think it's, speaking of things that we should have done years ago, you know how I'm the shortcut king, the keyboard shortcut king?
I wasn't aware of that.
Maybe Prince. Maybe like the Duke, the keyboard shortcut Duke.
You are probably in some level of royalty.
Yeah.
Maybe some sort of noble.
A jester or something.
A jester. Yep.
Man, it just dawned on me because I'm using this Final Cut program. Mm-hmm. And keyboard shortcuts on that are ridiculous. And oh, so really? I just... this is the Snapdown. Just print off the blimmin' keyboard shortcut illustration that they give you, or someone's made a better one on the internet and it's on Google. Just print one off and like stick it on your wall. It's so easy.
Really? Oh, so this I've is what that. You did for the video.
For Final Cut, program. Yeah. But ooh. It made me think, why not just do it for everything? For like Lightroom, you name it. Like I can't show you, but I've got this one hanging here and I could so easily just put a Lightroom one next door to it.
Good idea, man. Good idea.
Man, so easy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Good go on, everyone, clean your lenses and then do some print-offs.
Print off your shortcut thing.
Now, if you don't have another snap down, I've got one that is actually pretty, I think it's quite a good one.
Well, I thought of another one. Do you want to do yours first and then I'll do mine. I'll finish up with
you. I think that you'll want to chime in on my one, so you do your one.
Okay, because that's quite convenient, Greg, because it's actually related to yours a little bit.
There you go.
Oh man, maybe I should leave this to the full topic section because it relates to previous episodes.
Perfect, let's do that.
Okay, bye. Here you go.
Here's the thing. Okay, I'm going to ask you a proper question.
I have to sneeze, I'm going to walk away.
Ooh. That was a nice one.
Please excuse me.
That was a doozy.
It really was.
Okay, Tom. Currently, if someone sends you a message through Facebook Business, does it go bling on your phone?
No.
It seems to be quite a major thing out there at the moment where it doesn't do it anymore.
Heaps annoying though, eh?
Yeah, because I just upgraded to the mini snapdown iPhone 8. They've already told you that.
Mini snapdown. I knew you were getting it, but I'd like to hear it. Maybe.
Look, I won't. It's just like an iPhone. Who cares? It's just whatever. But it works faster, super well, yeah. I don't regret not getting.
That's right.
I do regret getting. I don't know how that works. The iPhone 10, because that's out now. Yeah. Anyway, I don't care. Like, this 8 is solid. It's good. I'm happy. Done. Good. I didn't have to spend. Like, in New Zealand, the 10 is super expensive.
Oh, man. Even here it is as well. It's ridiculous.
Like, so there's this big problem right now where Facebook is not pushing notifications from the Facebook Business Messages platform.
Is this actually an issue? I didn't realize this was a thing.
This is like a thing now where it's just not happening. It was happening on my iPhone 6, but now I've gone, everything's updated now and... anyway, it's just not happening, and I've been online onto Google and everyone's talking about it. Everyone's saying it's not happening. So one problem is you're missing out on getting back to people, like you're potentially missing work. The other thing is stupid Facebook punishes you for not replying to people quickly because it's like replies within 2 hours rather than the regular 1 minute or 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. So it's really stupid of Facebook. This idea I had, which I've implemented now, and I'm yet to see it actually work, but I still think it's a good idea, is if you go on your phone and you go into your settings page of your Facebook Business account, you can set an automatic reply to people when they message you.
Oh, so that, I had no idea.
So I set my reply to, hey, what's up? Oh, and it's really great because you can even customize the reply and put in their name. So it's like, hey, your name. Thanks for getting in touch with me. I said Facebook has stopped pushing notifications to mobile devices. So I can reply to you as soon as possible, send me an email here text or call me on this number. And I'll get back to you straight away. And then I'm like, cheers, nice one, sweet as GC.
I had no idea. I'm looking at my settings now and I admit that I can't see where to do that, but I'll check it out. But that's amazing. That's really,
I think it's right down the bottom. There's like messaging settings if you're on the
I see.
And then there's an away and a auto reply.
My phone is currently frozen, so
so anyway, no, because that solves two problems. The problem is you can reply to people quicker. But I was finding I was getting into this kind of horrible pattern where I had to go and check my Facebook every 10 minutes because I wouldn't know if someone's just sent me a reply. Yeah. Like, if someone... if it's a first point of contact, okay, maybe an hour is okay. Mm. For me, I don't think so. I'm like, I want to be on that straight away.
Mm, yeah.
But if someone asks me, if I'm like, hi, thanks for getting in touch with me. Here's my pricing. See you later. And they come back and say, oh, we really want to book you for this date. Mm. Here's a quick question. And I don't get any notification. And then I go to bed.
Mm.
Like, that sucks. You really want to get those notifications straight away.
It's annoying because you're potentially losing like a client.
Yeah. So that's my thing, man. Get it. Just encourage them. And I think it's okay to tell them the issue. That's what I've done. I've been like, listen, Facebook's being a bit of an idiot. Not in those exact words, but use these different media.
Media. I've always found that being honest and not conversational, but just treating people like telling them what the go is. I've always found it way better than a response like, good
too diplomatic. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much for your inquiry. We will respond to you in due course. Yeah. Anyway, good.
I thought as a lawyer though, you could probably punch out some pretty
Let's
good
jargon. Let's not forget jargon. I was a terrible lawyer. So...
Anyway, so I don't know. Do you want anything else about that? I just thought it was a nice little way of killing a few birds with one
very,
stone.
When my phone unbricks itself, I will try and... I don't think... Yeah, no, that's good, man.
All right. Well, let's hear from your big one. We got... I feel it's pretty big.
Well, what were you saying? We've got a few questions, eh? Well, our questions will kind of be our main topics, won't they?
Yeah. So do you want to just do your thing and then maybe we could... We could just do like a large letter corner.
Letter corner. It's a continuation of a previous topic. I'm currently holding up to my...
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it's the saga of the new Lightroom and how I can edit my photos using keyboard shortcuts, because I'm pretty sure I discussed how... Remember last time we talked, Lightroom had just updated to classic CC.
Yeah.
And they'd removed Visco Keys functionality. Did we talk about this?
Oh, well,
Didn't I talk about this? Oh.
No.
So remember I bought that... Okay, we're talking about the Loop Deck, which is that custom-made editing board, right?
MIDI
controller. And I was like, $600? Hell no. So I bought my own board. I think we talked about that, right? I bought a Behringer X-Touch MIDI. Okay. Then I used it for a few weddings and I was like, I don't like this. So I put it in the cupboard and kept on using what I was using, which was Visco Keys, which is a aftermarket keyboard shortcut system specific for Lightroom, made by Visco, which I'm sure we all know what Visco or VSCO is, the editor.
If you don't, just look it up.
Yeah. Okay, so then Lightroom decided to update itself, or Adobe updated Lightroom, and they, for some reason, Lightroom no longer supports Visco Keys. So I updated Lightroom, yay, went to start editing a wedding, all my keyboard shortcuts, unusable. And I've never been a fan of the stock Adobe keyboard shortcuts. I find them clunky, and I find the ones that I use the most, I find require Shift, Command, and something. Right. Whereas the Visco Keys ones were like one key, like the full stop key or whatever. So then I had a big bit of a conniption, and I was all worried. And then I got my MIDI deck out, and I started using that again, and I actually really, really got into it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm actually using it a lot to edit, which is really good. But then I found this thing, and it is called PFixer, which is PFixer. Have you heard of PFixer?
No, I haven't. But for some reason, it's familiar to me.
You might have heard of it. They make a piece of software which does the identical thing to Visco Keys. Obviously, you use different, like it's a bit of a different thing. Works in a different way. Using this software, you can pretty much, you load it up and you can pretty much program anything in as a Lightroom shortcut. So for example, you can program a bunch of keys on your keyboard, but you can also program a MIDI controller. So it's like an all-in-one solution. Whoa.
Is this the Pusher Labs?
Yeah, that's the one.
Uh-huh.
One of the things they sell is they also sell pre-customized MIDI controllers. The exact one that I have, the Behringer.
Oh.
Well, they're three different ones. I have the middle size one. They have the big one, which is like, I don't even know what it's called. They have the middle one, which is the X-Touch Mini, which is what I have, and they have another little guy. But it's just an awesome piece of software. It is, to get the full bit of software, it's about $100 and something bucks. So it's not super cheap, but the customability, is that a word? The customizability is extreme in what you can do. So I've set my keyboard up using PFixer to do exactly as it almost what my Visco Keys keyboard would do. Yeah, which is awesome. So now I can switch between my MIDI controller and my keyboard on a given day. If my hands are feeling tired from using the keyboard, I'll switch to my deck. And then if I'm using the deck a lot, then I'll switch back to the keyboard. It's awesome. So
looks great.
Oh, it's fantastic, man. And so customizable.
So PFixer, I'm looking at the website, PFixer for OS X. That's $99, $100.
Yeah, something like that.
And,
yeah.
And that allows me, that software download only, and that allows me to change my keys on my Mac keyboard.
Yes.
What do you know what the PFixer core
for
$30?
It supports it's a stripped down version of the main software.
Okay.
It's so the main software.
Yep, gotcha. Yeah.
It just supports fewer custom presets.
Oh, I tell you, I think it says here, use with any standard keyboard or MIDI controller. So perhaps that's...
But you can do one or the other. You can't do both. Whereas the main one, you can do both. Okay. So like I have some...
Give you 30 plus key... Yeah. Oh, I see. It gives you 30 Lightroom functions.
Which, to be honest with you, versus... is probably enough. Like I only use... No way I use more than 30 Lightroom functions.
I wonder if you bought that one and then wanted to upgrade... Yeah, that's fantastic. So which one did you buy, sorry? The 99?
I bought it because I was like, I don't want to deal with having to...
No, function. Yeah.
And like I said, you can buy their ooh, like bundle. They have a bundle where they sell the software plus the Behringer X-Touch Mini. So it ships together. And the Behringer has like a... They put a skin on it. They put a big sticker on the front with nice. Whereas I made all my own stickers, so ghetto. And I like use printing machines and my printer, and I printed all the labels. But it comes all pre-labeled and pre-programmed as well.
And what awesome. Do you think of this? There's this big circular Numark one with the Pluto controller. It's called.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Looks. I wanted physical dials. I wanted physical knobs and dials. I didn't want to have to press buttons to. So
it looks to me like that one has one central circular spinny thing. Maybe you've got to hold a button and spin and it.
Something like that.
This is my whole afternoon now. I'm going to be researching this.
Their version of what I have is called the Mini Mel.
The Mini Mel. Yep, I see it there. $69.99.
Yeah.
Good one, dude. And so are you quite converted?
I'm going to say right now I'm enjoying editing more on the deck than I am on the keyboard. Yes, I think I'm a convert. I'm really enjoying it. It's very fast. It's very tactile because the knobs click. So, you know, when you're changing your exposure, you click, 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 and it resets itself when you move to a new photo. So you don't have, you know, the changes you made to the last photo don't carry on to the next one.
It's really good, man. Do you find you still go for the mouse?
The only time I use a trackpad. The only time I use the trackpad is when I need to crop. Because you can't, there's no way to properly and finally crop an image. You know, you've got to be pretty precise about where your edges are. You can rotate on the deck, but you can't really crop properly.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Everything else, it's awesome, man.
Cool, man. That's fantastic. Great.
Yeah.
I'm quite tempted. For some reason, this Pluto one's just screaming my name. I don't know why.
It might be better than what I got. I mean, and there's so many YouTube videos on these. You should check them out. But let me know how you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I will do.
Sweet.
Good. Good one. Questions? Should we go for some questions?
Yeah. Do you want me to read them or have you got them?
I'll do my one first because you just did something.
Okay, you go.
Okay, let me just find the question. It was quite nice. We had an email from Eric. Eric Hall in Idaho. And he is of Eric J. Hill Photography. Hey, yeah, really nice to hear from him. He said some nice things about us, Tom.
How can you, I'm not surprised.
He's just normal guy, you know. The quick question was, he shoots with a 7200 f2.8 and a 24-70 f2.8. Seriously considering making the switch to 35mm and 85/135mm. Should I?
Yes.
Yeah. My reply to him was something like, Tom and I both described the 70-200 and 24-70 as boring.
I think they're so boring.
2.8.
Why do you think they're boring?
Well, for one reason, most people use them.
Yeah.
Well, nah. Actually, these days, I think most kind of like high-end people tend to go for the
primes,
primes, but yeah, it's boring because it's 2.8. They're big and bulky and heavy, and they do everything. You know, the zoom range for me just means that I would spend more time thinking, oh, I need to just perfectly compose this shot and get everything just right while I'm zooming. Meanwhile, I could have taken a couple of shots and be onto something new.
It adds yet another factor that you have to decide. Yeah. And I think that's frustrating. Like, you know, you want to reduce the number of decisions you have to make and just try and focus on what's happening on the other side.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Look, if you are asking if I regretted ever going from a Zoom to a Prime, no, I don't think
ever really.
Maybe when I'm pushed into the very corner of a room with a 35, yeah, and I wish I could just Zoom it to 24 or something, perhaps. But that's why I carry the old 16 to 35.
My suggestion to Eric would be to rent one of them or both of them for a weekend and mm-hmm. shoot with them and see. There are obviously disadvantages, like they're less flexible, like you were saying, but it saves your back, it saves your legs, it's so much lighter.
And they're sharper.
They're absolutely sharper, yeah.
All right, Tom, what about this? Let's get down to the nitty-gritty here, pal.
Nitty-gritty.
If he's going to buy a 35 and an 85 and a 135, should he just go out and buy the whole lot, or should he get... I mean, he's got to get the 35 and one of the other two. Mm. Is there an order you would buy the other two in, the 85 and the 135?
I personally went 35 and 135. The 85 focal length was something that I could live without. And it actually still is. Like, I really love my 85, but if I had to live without one lens, it would probably be that, because the 135 does everything that it does. It's just a little harder sometimes because you've got to stay further back.
Yeah.
And also, I think that 35 and 85, if you're going to only have two lenses, I personally think they're too close together.
Right.
I know a guy who shoots, that's all he has. All day he shoots with those two lenses, and it works really well for him. But personally, I feel they're a little bit too close together. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't own an 85. I would have got one by now if I felt like I needed one in the middle there. But the 135, I find, is just great because from the back of the room, you can get a pretty tight shot. Like in a reception area. But then when you're doing stuff and you're in a bedroom, like prep or whatever, I don't know, the 135, if the only disadvantage is that you get too close, well, that's kind of cool. Like, you just take advantage of that and get some sweet close-up shots, some like tight portraits.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're used to this when... you're somewhere and you've got the 135 in your hand and someone's like, hey, can you just take a picture of something? And
you're like, no.
Well, I'll just be like, yep, and just turn my back and run away so get into position and then spin around, take the photo.
Do you usually shoot your family photos on a wider lens, like a 35?
Like
your group photos, say, after the ceremony?
Yeah. Well, I love to use 35. I just hammer the 35 all day. But if I have to... Like, especially because if I do that full group shot that I am so good at.
Wow, yeah. I mean the family photos, like, you know, like mum and dad and the two.
Yeah.
And the
brother. All I was saying is if I'm going to do that big group shot, often that needs a wider lens.
Yeah.
And then it's on the camera. And I can I can put it to 35. And at f4 for a family shot, no one cares. Like, that's kind of what you want it to be at anyway.
Oh, totally. I saw this family photo on Facebook this morning. Someone put, I can't remember who, or maybe Instagram, and it was obviously shot with a longer lens, probably an 85 or a 50. And man, it looked really good. And I thought to myself, maybe if I have more room, I might try and
just
shoot
go further
photos.
Back.
Well, you know, the longer focal length is traditionally it's kind of a flattering, a little more flattering.
Was it full body, like head to toes?
No. Oh, it was like waist up,
cut at the waist.
Yeah, it looked really good, man. I'm gonna try.
One thing I did at this last wedding, and I don't know if it was unique or whatever, but seemed different to me for some reason, but I did my bridal party shot, like, you know, just the whole nice formal bridal party all standing there. Mm-hmm. I did that with the 135 and I went way, way back, and that gives you a wicked... It was on a wharf, so I went to the start of the wharf. They were way at the...
Oh, I think, like, I saw this. You put this photo on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it. It was fantastic. Worked really well.
Yeah, it's just a cool perspective. And for their group shots, that's a little bit different.
It's cool. It's fun to do things in a way that is totally different to how you did them last week. You know, once you end up in that production line of just the same thing, like, that's kind of the enemy of our job, isn't it?
And you
just find that you're not challenging yourself. Remember when you start out, you're always like, oh man, what if I do that? And sometimes the result is, oh God, I should not have done that.
No.
Other times the result is like, wow, that's awesome. I feel like we should do that more often, you know, like interesting things from a totally different angle or a totally different lens or something like that.
Oh man, well, I wish I could quote the person, but I just saw someone, you know, these multiple exposures that people do where it's head, the heads in the trees.
Yep.
Someone did a first kiss Multiple exposure.
At the ceremony?
Yeah.
Oh, that's that requires
balls. It looked incredible too. Oh. I was on that one of our groups that I don't know if you're in it. It was one of those ones. I got to go and have another look because I see those multiple exposures and I'm like, meh. Like,
They're very done.
It's a thing. But then when I saw, wow, this is like first kiss, no planning, no setup, and she's actually nailed it.
You know what? Those things are actually really hard to nail any day and any time. Like, I've tried to get those done properly, and man, you know what? I don't think I have the skill to get those done properly.
No, it's like, tough. You got to know exactly where to put the contrast, where to put the dark,
exactly.
Where to have the light.
And what background is going to actually look good in, you know?
Okay, cool. All right, that's done. Hey, man, do you got another question? I was just wondering, we're good for time. We could save yours for next week?
It's the JPEG Mini and... we can totally save it if you think we should.
I reckon we could rabbit on that one. Do you want to just give a little teaser?
All right, ready?
Yeah.
So the other question that we had, which I think, because we're almost out of time and I feel I want to dedicate a bit more time to this question, was from Kathy Rothwell. Hey, Kathy. How you doing? Awesome question. I think we've touched on it before, but what I think we'll do is we'll talk about it in more detail next week. But that was regarding our settings that we use to export photos from Lightroom, like, you know, the widths that we'll use on the photo or the resolution, the pixels per inch, and also the use of JPEG Mini. Mm-hmm. Kathy asked us this question via our Facebook page. And just in short, I'll pretty much say what I responded to Kathy in this post now, which was one of the things she said was, I'm keen to learn whether JPEG Mini files would be classed as high resolution. So first of all, I'm very far from a highly technical photographer. I put myself more in the emotional, you know, like the moment capturing guy. Like, I'm not really, I'm a totally nerd, but I'm not back to front, the inside and out of, you know, pixels per inch and what is classed as a high res photo. But all I can say is for the last 3 or 4 years, every photo I've delivered to every client has been run through JPEG Mini. And every photo I've used to order an album has been run through JPEG Mini. And I've seen absolutely no quality loss. And I've had no one come back to me and say, oh, this photo looks, you know, anything but, you know, fantastic from a usable technical point of view. Yeah. So, and that includes really, really high pixel images such as 7,000 pixel, 5,000 pixel wide, stuff like that. So I would say, would it still be classed as high res? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's more to do with how wide the image is in terms of pixels.
Yeah. JPEG Mini is more to do with what it does with the pixels, isn't it? It's like...
Chopping off the little bits that no one's really going to see anyway. Yeah. Should we get into that maybe next week in a bit more detail and talk about our actual export settings?
Okay, sure.
Do you want to?
Sure.
All right.
Okay, unless we forget, which we've...
Highly likely. No.
We've probably done before. Okay, bro. Well, we're good for time, so do you want to just call it a day?
I think that was great.
Now, guess what? I'm going to see you...
Yeah, man.
In like 5 days or something.
I was thinking we should do a live episode on Facebook Live.
Oh, a proper live one.
Why not? Like, everything will be the same. Good. We'll just sit in my office here and we'll just Facebook Live it.
Should I bring my microphone? We'll talk about that off here.
Maybe, yes.
Okay, buddy. Right. What are we going to make snapping today? I think everyone should go and make their Facebook automatic reply snapping because you're losing out on business if you don't. Next one time.
Cool, man.
Okay, bud. I'll see you in a few days.
See you, man.
Hey, and wish me luck. Wish me luck. I got a New Zealand and Auckland wedding on Friday, Sydney wedding on Saturday. So the next podcast will either be me like celebrating or being like, don't know. It was horrible. Wow. My career is over. So
that's hectic. Nah, you'll be sweet, man. If anyone can do it, you can.
Cheers, man.
All right, man.
Hey, guys. See you.
See you, bro. Bye.
Bye.
That was good.